Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of September 19th, 2015. Today we're joined by our frequent guest, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Good. How are you doing?
Very well. Very well. So, D.R., last week we had a very interesting discussion about an organization called Mass Power Forward, which was trying to organize support for two bills in the Massachusetts legislature, one having to do with satisfying the clean energy requirements of the Global Warming Solutions Act, and the other having to do with net metering of solar panels. And the Global Warming Solutions Act part basically brought in questions about whether or not we should get power from electricity dams, hydro dams up in Quebec someplace. But that's just backdrop, because that bell continued to echo over the past week, right? Bunch of stuff happened that's related. So I just wanted to kind of discuss that. Let me begin. One of the first things that happened is that the opposition to a pipeline in Boston. So we've talked about this one as well. The company wants to put a pipeline underneath VFW Parkway, right near a active quarry, to put a big natural gas pipeline through a highly densely settled West Roxbury neighborhood in Massachusetts. Right? So tell me, DR, that effort, what happened there?
Well, there was a bit of a setback for opponents of that pipeline, because on September the 10th, Federal Judge William Young of the first U.S. of the U.S. District Court in Massachusetts, situated in Boston. There are a couple of federal courts around the state, but this district court situated in Boston. So Federal Judge William Young ruled on September the 10th that Spectra Energy had the right to acquire via eminent domain parts of three streets in West Roxbury for the pipeline expansion project. Young ruled, according to the West Roxbury patch of West Roxbury, Wicked Local West Roxbury, he ruled that Spectra the authority to proceed to take easements in West Roxbury by eminent domain to build the project, basically because of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission basically gave Spectra Energy the thumbs up, and therefore he essentially decided that thumbs up was okay. It's unclear, based on the reporting, as to whether or not this decision is going to be appealed to the first U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. But for now, it appears that Spectra Energy has the go-ahead to sort of
rip up the streets of Boston.
Exactly. It's.
I guess, I mean, the FERC is the acronym is FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, is this sort of a bureaucratic body of the federal government. And in this instance, the feds evidently overrule the locals. And once the FERC says you can build a pipeline, no one can stand in the way. We'll see if there's some sort of reaction to that, some sort of appeal. But I guess the reason that we want to talk about the pipeline through Boston and that incident is the following, that there is another pipeline, the Northeast Direct Pipeline, I believe it's proposed by Kinder Morgan, which is supposed to cross much of Massachusetts, is also subject to FERC approval in the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. And the president of the Massachusetts Senate, Mr. Rosenberg, right? He started to hold hearings out in the western part of Massachusetts to find out about what people thought about the pipeline, right? Did you see anything about that?
Yes, there was a great piece in the Springfield Republican on September the 10th talking about Senate President Stanley Rosenberg's open hearings regarding the fate of the Northeast Energy Direct Pipeline. He's collecting oral written testimony that's going to that he promises to hand deliver to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission in Washington on September the 30th. FERC will use the public input, according to the story, to help determine the scope of issues in its upcoming environmental impact statement on the natural gas pipeline plan. And Senate President Rosenberg has established a website called Tell FERC. It's stanrosenberg.com/tell-FERC for people who wish to submit their testimony online. And the deadline of submitting the testimony is Friday, September the 25th. So people who want to make their voices heard on this should go to that website and speak their minds.
And it's very, I mean, because FERC, the FERC, is a pretty technical place. These comments, it's important to understand that when you submit a comment, what you want to be doing is asking FERC to include a certain topic in the environmental impact statement. So, for example, you could say, look, you want every inch of the Kinder Morgan pipeline to be surveyed for archaeological remains. If there's a Indian burial ground, was there a pilgrim cabin built there, right? And basically it expands the scope of the environmental impact statement to include more and more stuff and make it harder for Kinder Morgan to satisfy it. And this is exactly what happened in West Roxbury. I think that the environmental impact statement snuck through. FERC approved it by some judge who was appointed by somebody else, right? But long and short of it, for the Kinder Morgan thing, this is your chance to avoid the fate of West Roxbury and to get in and make the environmental impact statement as broad and comprehensive as it can possibly be. So I urge people to think about it. Anyway, go ahead, dear.
And the story noted that Senate President Rosenberg says he has taken no position on the pipeline, but he wants to ensure that large energy infrastructure proposals are thoroughly evaluated. Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting term because, well, obviously, you know, if the West Roxbury deal, that doesn't appear to have been thoroughly evaluated. Right. How are you going to put a pipeline near a place where you have a quarry where they blast things with dynamite? Right. That doesn't seem to be thoroughly evaluated. That seems to be a half-ass evaluation.
Right, you got thousands of people going up and down the roadway every day. Anyway, we'll see how the thing in West Roxbury works out. I don't think that one's over yet. Yep. But so there's the pipeline that's and of course there's the parallel one, the Algonquin pipeline through the southern part of the state, which is also meeting opposition. But the other interesting topic that falls out. So we rewind all the way back to the Mass Power Forward thing, right? There's the Hydro-Québec bill that the Mass Power Forward group is trying to support, or at least influence. Right? And the governor, Mr. Baker, has proposed that the state buy green electricity from Hydro-Québec and import that from Canada down into Massachusetts and, in fact, the region. I mean, he is trying to talk about a regional development. And he was at a meeting with, I guess it's the ISO people, the ISO or the people that run the utilities or something. And it turns out that he was challenged by a lobbyist to say that buying all that, mandating the purchase of a lot of green energy from Hydro-Québec was a huge, quote-unquote, market intervention that shouldn't be done. And the most interesting sidelight of that whole thing was that the lobbyist who stood up and basically berated the governor in public just happened to work for Keystone XL. What a surprise, right?
In fact, that figure, Mike Hatchie, is a vice president of TransCanada, the parent company of the Keystone XL pipeline, and he basically claimed that this effort to expand hydropower in the Commonwealth would be a, quote, massive government intrusion into the market that would drive other competitors out of the market. Hatchie then went on to allege that when he asked, the state's energy secretary, Matt Beaton, for the data or analysis to support the Baker's position on hydropower, he was told by Beaton that there wasn't any, which is something that Baker has disputed. He doesn't seem to buy the idea that his energy secretary would not have data to back up Baker's position on hydropower. So it seems to be that the sort of odd soap opera going on about, you know, hydropower versus fracked gas, or not versus, because obviously the Baker administration is also saying that we need fracked gas, but it just seems to be this sort of odd soap opera between, you know, the Baker administration and TransCanada.
And I think that the question about whether or not the Secretary of Energy has his figures straight, I think he has a pretty clear answer, and that's just a political football that should be pretty much ignored. But I guess the point from the climate hawk perspective is to understand that the implications of importing Hydro-Quebec power, which is perfectly fair to say has no greenhouse gas associated with its production, once you've built the dam and despoiled thousands of acres of Canadian woodland to dam up the water, that energy is clean. The question is, how does that, the importation of that kind of power, how does that affect the development of clean energy industries in Massachusetts proper, right? The employment of people to put solar panels on their roof, building wind turbines right here in the state and generating our own power, right? The governor's got a tough call because he's supposed to meet these mandates, but I think a more aggressive stance to introduce clean energy would do a better job. It would be a preferable way to satisfy the requirements of the Global Warming Solutions Act. I mean, do you think that's true?
I agree. And when it comes to clean energy, wouldn't you prefer to have it domestic rather than imported?
Absolutely. I mean, and the thing of it is, if we build that sort of distributed energy infrastructure here in the state, that's where the jobs are. Okay? Babysitting those wind turbines, the solar panels, and all that kind of stuff, installing them. I mean, that's an economy unto itself. And so there are real, and of course, you know, goes hand in hand with that is that we shouldn't build any more pipelines because we want to put all that money and energy into building clean power. Exactly. And so the governor ought to go in that direction. Exactly. But then there's the second topic that the Mass Power Forward people are concerned about, and that's solar net metering. And again, for people who have not been listening faithfully week on week, the net metering issue is that there is a limitation, a cap on how much money can be spent to subsidize solar panels by allowing owners of the solar panels to run their meters backwards when the solar panels are generating money. Long and short of it is, from a climate hawk perspective, we want as high a cap as possible, and the governor has not really been that generous in the cap that he has proposed, right? And I guess DRU had found an article saying that behind all these efforts to caps the, literally to cap solar power, there's some dirty money, right?
Exactly. There was a great report on September the 14th by Denise Robbins of MediaMatters.org, which has just done yeoman's work over the years in terms of reporting on these issues, talking about the various financial interests arrayed against solar power and the various interests attempting to strangle solar power, many of which are connected to the Koch brothers, as you might imagine, various front groups attempting to do everything they can to try to kill off net metering, to try to strangle solar power.
What's the argument, though? You have to have some flimsy argument. And I think the flimsy argument has something to do with the fact that if you have solar panels on your roof, you are not paying your fair share of the upkeep of all the cabling that brings electricity to everyone else. Right? So it's that people who put solar panels on their roof need to be charged an extra fee to pay for the fact that they get to use the electrical infrastructure that delivers power. Is that your sense of what the argument is?
That's one of the bogus arguments trotted out by these front groups of the fossil fuel industry. Another argument is that this will somehow hurt poor people, as if pollution won't hurt poor people. And essentially, the reality is that this is an attempt to try to protect a legacy energy interest. One of such groups is the Consumer Energy Alliance, which has been, as according to Media Matters, tied to BP, Chevron, ExxonMobil, and Peabody Energy. And all these groups who realize that as more people go solar and as more people go to clean energy, dirty energy loses. And these guys are desperately, desperately, desperately trying not to lose a fight that they are guaranteed to lose, because people want to get off the grid. People want clean energy. People want distributed energy, and they don't want to have to bow down to dirty energy interests.
Well, you know, I mean, we don't have time to talk about it, but I would point out that Our friend Dave Roberts over at Vox has a couple of very interesting articles, which we need to discuss sometime, that basically discuss the business model of utilities and how that model is being threatened and, in fact, is no longer viable in a world where you can put solar panels on your roof, right? And that just changes the game for utilities, and they're gonna fight like the dying dinosaurs before they go down here. But we don't have time now.
Those utilities are going the way of 8-track tapes,
Betamax,
Betamax. It's just dated energy. It's old school versus new school, and new school will always beat old school every time.
I like that phrase you had. Is it in the article? A legacy energy interest? Or did you make that one up?
I think David Roberts used that one.
Okay. I mean, it's too kind, but yeah. Legacy energy interest is quite a turn. Anyway, DR, we got to stop there. We'll tell our listeners they can check out the links to most of what we talked about at the blog. It's massclimateaction.net/blog. Please leave a comment when you come. You can find us on Facebook at /massclimateaction. You can listen to the show there. Please share us with your friends. They will be eternally grateful. You can listen to us directly on your smartphone using Stitcher or TuneIn Radio. You can find us on iTunes. Simply search for Massachusetts Climate Action. So we'll close the way we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and because we believe it is our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the United States put a price on carbon. Thank you very much for being here, DR.
Thanks.
And thanks to everyone for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us. And until next time, be green.
Very cool.